You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with director and producer Miranda Bailey. Miranda is also the co-founder of the website thecherrypicks.com, a site devoted to the female voice in film criticism. In this one-on-one, we get to speak to Miranda about whether or not she's seen changes in the industry in recent years, the potential for a Best Female Director category in the Oscars, and what she thinks needs to happen in the industry moving forward. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. But it's the obvious question. How are you holding up?
I'm doing great. A lot of my friends are talking to me and being like, oh, my husband's driving me crazy, or my wife, or my kids, and blah, blah, blah. And, oh, I hate being home and all this stuff. And I'm like, I love it. I'm like, I'm never home. I'm always feeling guilty about not seeing my kids enough, or else if I'm at home, feeling like I'm not working hard enough. And right now, I'm doing both. And I feel like, for the first time ever, not guilty.
I actually can relate to that, because I honestly, when I thought I'd be going a lot crazier than I would be now, it's actually really nice in some ways. I mean, there's a lot of things that aren't nice.
It's a lot less stressful, oddly. I mean, I miss oyster bars, but...
That's fair. Well, I'm sure you can get those in for Uber Eats. Maybe you don't want to.
It's not the same.
Thank you so much for chatting with me. I really do appreciate it. Thanks for giving me a call.
Sure.
I was wondering, I want to talk to you about Cherry Picks and about women in the industry. I was wondering how Cherry Picks came about.
That's everybody's question. I love it. The question is, why didn't anybody else think of this?
Fair enough.
It came about because I was looking for something like this. I had produced a movie called I Do Until I Don't, which was Lake Bell's second feature film. And it was, you know, about women, and it was geared towards women, and it was, like, you know, kind of, like, friendly towards love. You know, it didn't make any grandiose political statements or anything like that. And a lot of the male reviewers, when they were reviewing it, were saying things about how disappointed they were in Lake. You know, like, isn't she, like, their daughter or something, or, like... And it was just, like, really weird. And, like, some of the female reviewers talked about it. They didn't necessarily score it any better, but they talked about it differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they actually talked about the film part.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, huh. And a lot of my friends who aren't in the industry who are women really liked it. And some of my friends who are not in the industry who are guys didn't really like it. It's chick flick. So... I was like, oh, well, let me find out, you know, like, what all women think, and, like, what's the women's score of it for critics? And then I couldn't find it. And I found, like, some organizations that had, like, female critics that belonged to it, but you'd have to, like, go and read each one, and those weren't necessarily Rotten Tomatoes certified critics, and you couldn't figure out a score. There wasn't, like, starring system or anything. And so then when I was looking a little deeper, I realized that on that tomatoes at that time, which was about 3 years ago, there were like 78% of the critics were men. I think they've gotten it to like 60 something now, but like literally, and then of the top critics, it was like 88% were men. And I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, how are we ever going to do what we say we want to do in Hollywood, which is, like, have more women behind the camera, have more female stories, if consumers are hearing what is worth their money from mostly men?
Right.
So it was kind of a way to start something that would help female critics get more notice, get more jobs, get more hired, but it was also a way for me to affect the consumer market to prove that there actually is an audience for, you know, films by and about women. That said, Cherry Picks is, you know, score, you know, like, we collect scores of all of the critics that are on every movie that are women and non-binary or identify as female. So it's not, I mean, we do Ford versus Ferrari also, you know, like, we collate from that as well. So it's not only about women movies, but it's just about what women think about movies, these movies that are out there. So, you know, it's like for everyone by women kind of thing.
How do you think the female voice differs in the world of film criticism? Because, I mean, I think it's incredible opportunity, and I think it's incredible organization, incredible site. So how do you think the female voice differs?
Well, I mean, that's a question that's, I mean, I think everyone's an individual, so I don't think, like, all men think one way, all women think one way, all Republicans, all Democrats, all blacks, all whites, all whatever. Like, I don't think that way, but, you know, think about it like magazines, right? Like, I don't really read GQ magazine.
Right,
I'm not the demo for that. And I know, and most, and then guys don't read Marie Claire, right? So it's really just about interests and whatnot. I could read a GQ magazine if I wanted to, and a guy could read Marie Claire if they wanted to. I just wanted to present something that you could read this if you wanted to.
Right, right, right. Thinking about women in the industry, have you seen a change in the recent years? I mean, we hear stories about strides being taken, but being on the inside, I'm sure you hear the frustrations. Like, do you see that we're going in the right direction?
Yeah, I do. As someone who's been hearing it for my entire 20-year career, there's no audience for it, and then there's, we need more of it, to not necessarily any movement, to once Time's Up and Me Too. And I had started working on Cherry Picks before that happened, so it was just really coincidentally good timing that, you know, we were able to, like, get this site up and launched and ready right at the time when people were talking about women should be listened to, right?
Right.
And so that, I got very lucky with that. But, you know, that movement, Time's Up, Me Too, or other movements, you know, like Black Lives Matter, these are really important movements that make that make people pay attention to that, you know, we can't just say what we want, equality. We have to, you know, go out of our way to make equality happen. And I think that since those movements have started, and they really gained a lot of traction, that things have been changing for the better for women, for sure. I think there's obviously still problems, but, sure, you know, I definitely notice a change in the workplace. I did, however, recently have one of my colleagues say something that I was like, you know, you really shouldn't say that. Mm. And it was a guy, and he's like, I don't mean it to be sexist. I'm like, I know, but it is sexist.
Right.
You know, so it's hard. But, I mean, do we still have the problem that not a single female director was nominated for an Oscar this year when we had best year ever of movies by women? Absolutely was a problem. And that has to do with money.
Hmm.
So unless there's a category specifically for women in the Oscars, shall we say, or the Golden Globes for directing, and there's a reason why a distributor will put money behind a campaign specifically for a woman who is not an actress, is only going to happen if they can make money off of, like, the Oscar win. And right now, they, you know, they don't go out of their way to select movies that are directed by women. They go out of their way to select the movies that they think have a chance.
Hmm.
And also, people vote for their friends. And this is, you know, in SAG Awards and in PA and whatever, and so it's always, you know, like, the idea of it being a boys' club and whatnot, like, it's true. But more and more women are getting into that boys' club. And the more we get into the boys' club, the more it will be. But I really think until there's a financial interest in awards, because awards are very expensive. Award campaigns are very expensive. And the only reason that you do it is to make more money.
Right.
So until there's a financial interest for distributors to literally invest in campaigns for female directors, I don't see it taking great strides.
See, now that's interesting. You talk about a category for female directors. First of all, I mean, you talk about, I know money is the issue. I mean, we've seen some things happening, certainly in the world of, like, blockbuster films. You know, you've got Patty Jenkins as one. You've got people that...
Yeah, but she wasn't nominated, and Wonder Woman wasn't nominated, and I don't understand why. That was a freaking brilliant superhero movie. Why? Why not? I mean, that makes no sense. 10 categories for Best Picture. Yeah. They never had it. I mean, come on.
But it is, you know, it's interesting, though, because, like, certainly we have male, female, actor, and actress, best actor and actress, but
yeah.
Is a male and female director category, does that help, or does it end up segregating?
Well, this is where you know, it becomes, you know, it's hard for me to say that, because, you know, I am an actress, I am a director, I am a producer. Do I want to be called a female producer or a female director?
Right.
No.
Right, exactly.
I want to be thought of as a director and a producer. It doesn't matter what my sex is. So I feel that way. However, the only way I can see us really jumping in and getting money behind us is if there's, for being a director, is if there's a category for it, personally. Now, I know that a lot of people disagree with that because they don't want to be singled out, you know, and there's also, like, you know, sexual identity stuff and, you know, non-binary people who don't identify as either sex. And so I do understand the complexities. I'm just thinking, like, certainly not something I'm going to campaign for.
Right.
It's too controversial, but, you know, I have a distribution business myself. I'm a partner at the Film Arcade, so I know how it works. And I have a production company, and so I know how it works. And at the end of the day, awards, whether it's the Spirit Award, and doing a small campaign for a Spirit Award, or doing a big campaign for the Oscars, it's all about money and what you can put on your website, or your basically what your case was, your video case, your film poster, which is, you know, winner of this.
Right.
Right? Not until this year did I come to the thought of there should be a female director category, because Mari Heller and Lulu Wang and a myriad of other, and Alma Harrell, and all these other movies that were smaller movies that were brilliant, should have been nominated for directing, and they were not. Okay. But yet they would have been if we had a female director category. So that's where it gets a little tricky, but I know it, I don't think it'll happen, but that's just what I think.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and listening to that, to reverse it, you wouldn't amalgam the best actor category into male and females either, and nobody objects to that. You know, on the, you know, oh, there's a best actor, best actress.
Maybe we should do that. Maybe just make best performance. Boom. That's
yeah.
it.
Oh, that
would... best performance in a movie. Not even divided. The only reason that it's women and men is because back when they started it, you know, getting Marilyn Monroe, getting these fancy, beautiful, like, iconic, you know, actresses that were movie stars to show up was how they got people to watch the show. No one gave a shit about the costume designers or the whatever before.
Right.
But now it's become an art form that's much more about filmmaking than movie stars.
Do you think that change is related to almost as a generational issue? Because, like, do you think the younger generation more easily views this, views the necessity for these sorts of conversations as opposed to older people that have been in the industry?
Younger than me probably would object to it, because they are much more advanced in terms of, you know, understanding the dynamics of sexual appropriation. Whereas my generation, you know, I'm in my 40s, like, my generation doesn't, you know, is still, you know, learning about that. So I don't think it would be easy with the younger generation to do that unless we added, like, you know, another category for, you know, I don't know, identifying, you know, or non-binary. That's like, you know, it's a growing understanding of what that is, and it seems to be, from what I, in tracking it over the years that I started cherry picking, you know, just to try and be mindful of that, it seems to have, you know, grown and changed into something that it is its own.
Right.
You know, that will probably likably become an issue the more we get is, you know, people going, I don't want to be put in the box of female or male because I'm neither.
Right. The issue of equal pay in the industry, have we seen movement in regards of that? I mean, certainly the conversation has changed around it in recent years, or at least in the broader level. I was wondering if you've seen movement in that area as well.
People are talking about it, but to be honest, the last deal I was just making, two other men, I once again was asked to not take a fee. So it's not changing for me as a producer. I did have to demand that I get paid what everyone gets paid. And my friend also, who's a producer on a big movie right now that got shut down, she also had an issue where they were paying her $25,000 less than the two men who are doing less work. I mean, it is a big problem still, and it is still happening, and it is really annoying and upsetting when you go through it. And I'm done. My whole life have taken less than men on every single movie I've ever made or been asked to. And I've done it. Me and my colleague, Amanda, have to split a fee, one fee for the two of us, where the other guys will get their own. I mean, it's just shocking. And I've had to fight just for that.
Wow.
So now I have a resume that's big enough, and I have enough confidence in myself now to be able to say, then I'm not going to do this movie.
Right. Right.
So or this TV show, you know. And I just had to take a hard line. And I started the hard line about 4 years ago with Army Man. I did get paid less on that movie than the other producers. And I'm the first person on it who made it happen. And my office did all the work. And Amanda got paid less as well. And I had to fight for us to get paid at all on that. And that was obviously before Me Too or Time's Up. But now I'm not accepting anything less than equal if I'm doing the equal work. I'm just not.
For sure.
If I'm not doing equal work, I get it. I don't want to pay a man the same as me if I'm doing more work.
Right. No, that.
Even though that's pretty much always happening. I love men. I have sex with them all the time.
That's fair.
I want to. No, I really, there's men, I admire several men, and men have mentored me more than women have in this business. So, and then, some men of, my agents and managers, they were the first to believe in me, and I greatly appreciate them.
Of course. What do you think needs to happen to help bring greater balance to the industry?
I mean, as an additional step to what's happening now? I don't know. I'm not one for mandates myself. I think, how can we, it'd be great to have more PSAs about it, frankly.
Okay.
Bring more awareness into it, because I don't think people understand. I know my son, who's 12, does not understand. He thinks that the pink text is a hoax. He thinks that there's no such thing as fair pay because that's not a real thing. And I'm like, it is. It is. I don't think there's enough awareness about how far. I mean, I didn't experience this, but my mother did. Women weren't allowed to get their own credit card or buy their own house without a man co-signing for them. So, women weren't allowed to get jobs. I mean, one of the things with Rotten Tomatoes that was, probably why it was hard for them to have a more diverse selection of critics is because their standards at the time, which was 4 years ago, and I know that they have released some of these restrictions and standards, and bravo to them, were things like, you've had to work at the New York Times for the last 10 years. And did those jobs 10 years ago were not given to women or people of color. So when your restrictions are set with the resume you need to have, right, it's a lot harder for women or people of color because we weren't able to get those jobs. And I'm certainly not comparing what women have gone through with people of color. I think that people of color have had a much harder time than white women. And women of color have had a really hard time getting jobs as well. And it's just, I think we just have to be more open to picking people who aren't as experienced, believing in people who need a chance, who haven't had the ability to make 20 movies before now.
Right.
Maybe they've done one, maybe they've done a short. I think that people and the people with money, which isn't necessarily me or indie films, but studios, television series and whatnot, they need to be able to be willing to bring on female directors. And by the way, they're all looking for female directors. And I've talked to many big TV producers, and they're like, well, there's only, like, really six, which is bullshit, okay? But a woman cannot get a first-time woman TV director, first time, if she's made a feature even, cannot get on season one.
Wow.
We can get on season three, but we can't get an episode on season three, but we can't get on season one. Now, I don't know if this is true for male directors or not, but I know it is true for female directors because I've been told that by more than one person in television as I'm attempting to get TV jobs.
Wow.
Maybe we have something for you in season three, but not season one. And certainly not a pilot, you know. But TV is very hard right now.
Why would that be an issue? I mean, why would that be an issue that you can come on in season three and not season one? Like, why? Like, if this
because
is a series and you're casting,
you've already established this audience and its look and everything, and you basically just don't, you know, you basically just sit there and, you know, don't do anything and get it. You know, I haven't done it yet.
Right.
But, you know, Mari Heller just recently got a TV deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she did three feature films, all awards. Talked about, nominated. I mean, she's had such successful feature films from Diary of a Teenage Girl, which is what I worked on with her first, to then the one with Melissa McCarthy, which I forget the name of it right now, but it was so great. And then the Mr. Rogers movie, all of them, you know, such highbrow. She finally got to be like, boom, TV. Now, she was able to do some commercials. She did a great Kate Spade commercial. I remember that. So, but I mean, you know, that's like, she's had a great run, and she's been very, very lucky.
Right.
But also, like, she's superb, and there's plenty of mediocre men directors who've had an easier time than mediocre female directors. Speaking as a mediocre film director.
You know, as we start to wind down, Miranda, I was wondering this. Are there any particular female-driven projects that are exciting you right now, whether they just came out recently or are upcoming that you're looking forward to?
Yeah. When you say female-driven, do you mean, like, directed by, written by, or do you mean, like, female, like, lead?
Well, you can interpret that however you want. I think I was thinking of written and directed, but certainly female leads as well. I mean, the door is wide open there for you to answer.
Yeah, and there's some stuff I probably should have mentioned only because it hasn't been announced yet that I've heard about that I'm excited and I don't want to
tell us.
Well, there's something off the gasket of what you know, Beanie Fernstein's doing next, but I will tell you, it's very exciting to me, and I have nothing to do with it, and I'm depressed about that. But you know, I think Lulu Wang's work and Alma Harrell's work is very exciting to me right now in terms of female directors and ones to watch. You know, like, where will they be in 5 years?
Right.
Like, I hope that they'll be huge, you know, personally. I think there's this other artist, director, I call him artist, but like, you know how, like, Wes Anderson has, like, his, like, specific look?
Sure.
Or Coen Brothers has a look, or Baumbach has a look, you know? I think there's this girl named Susie Unesi that's done a couple of films, and, you know, she's had very little money to work with, and I don't know, you know, of our producers or whatever, and I'm not saying they're the greatest films in the world, but she definitely has a really interesting style.
Okay.
I think. And I'm curious to see if that style gets embraced. It's definitely a kind of girly, poppy style, which I haven't seen before.
Okay.
So, I mean, but, you know, those are a couple of filmmakers that I think are really interesting right now.
Great, yeah, and I love...
Besides myself, of course.
Of course, of course. and I loved The Farewell. That was Lulu Wang, I think.
Absolutely incredible.
It was brilliant. It was so good. But yeah, no, thank you. That's incredible. Miranda, thank you so much for chatting with me and being so forthright. I really appreciate it. And it's thecherrypicks.com, just to be clear.
Thecherrypicks.com. And we have a newsletter that comes out every Friday. That kind of tells you what to watch right now. Obviously, we're focused on movies that are playing at your home.
Right, yes.
But they're new movies, and it's great. You can go to the movie pages. You can see the scores. that females, critics, you know, kind of how they've been curated. So we have a bowl of cherries, which is like Run, Don't Walk, two cherries, which is Worth the Ticket, which, you know, basically means buy it, one cherry, which means Catch It From Your Couch, so like worth seeing, maybe not worth going to see. Fortunately, all of us are on our couches now. And then there's The Pit, which is pretty self-explanatory, but as a filmmaker, I and a woman, we tend to, or myself and as a filmmaker or a woman, I don't know which one's talking here, maybe it's the combo, but like, I love shitty movies. So, like, we, that's kind of our motto, like, everyone loves a pity movie now and then.
Right.
So it's a very film-friendly site, as opposed to something that's like, don't see this, it's garbage. Like,
right.
I love some garbage. I mean, The Hot Chick is one of my favorite movies of all time. Xanadu? Who doesn't love Xanadu? You know what I mean? So, and those are pity movies.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I think, I don't know, I haven't seen their scores, but I imagine they've fallen.
No, that's fair. That's great. I love it. And it's a great site. Checking it out, the reviews are solid.
And social media, our Instagram, we're doing Instagram Lives with a lot of actresses right now and female filmmakers every day, every Tuesday and Thursday at 1 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
Instagram Live.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really fun, and it's fun to make that new content, I have to say.
All right. Thank you. That's a great tip. I didn't know that you guys were doing that. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Miranda, thank you so much for chatting with me. I really, really appreciate it.
I appreciate your interest. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks. Have a great day.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.